Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
This morning I'm speaking to the daughter of the Northern Oracle right now. I'm going to speak to the daughters of Eve this morning. Though all mothers are daughters of Eve, not all daughters of Eve are mothers. So we're going to speak to the feminine soul. I want to encourage you, daughter of the Most High God, you have a history and you have blessings in your past, but you are going to live to see the day when you will realize all the best in your inheritance. It's going to come to culmination in you. This morning I have an interesting story. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 20. It's in the life of King David, and we always find blessing when we look at David, but it's an interesting text. David has been under siege. His son Absalom rebelled against him. That's been quenched. And now just when David thinks everything's all right, another fool rises up named Sheba. And Sheba is going to, he thinks, he's going to divide the nation and keep it divided. He thinks he's going to add mixture into the family of God so that he can take control and authority. How many of you know in our nation right now, we see it, we live in a nation divided. In our text, we see a nation divided. Secondly, we see mixture in the house of God. There isn't as much power as there used to be. The enemy is attacking the people of God. But I've got good news, God's antidote to division. God's antidote to mixture is to anoint and raise up the daughter of the Highland Oracle. That's you. Now you'll understand what that means in just a minute. Because there was an interesting city called Abel Beth Maacah. Abel Beth Maacah, it means the stream of the house of the squeeze. The stream of the house of the squeeze. It was a city up north in Golan, just east of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we have a picture of it. There it is. That's a 35-acre tell of the ancient city, Abel, that we're going to be talking about today. And it's in northern Israel, and it was a place that was noted for wisdom. If you ever had a question on any matter or any issue, you could come and talk to the daughter of the Highland Oracle. Any of the women in this mother city, it was called, Abel, could answer any questions. And the name, I find it appropriate, is the stream of the house of the squeeze. You squeeze lemons, what do you get? Lemon juice. You squeeze olives, you get oil. You squeeze grapes, you get scriptures, and God's been squeezing the clouds, and you get the rain. And boy, in this story today, we're going to be looking at the fact that God is squeezing his daughters to bring forth the wisdom. This was a city dripping with wisdom, squeezed, and you know, through a process of squeezing is usually how you get wisdom. It's called life experience. Come on. I always tell my children, I've been your age, you've never been mine. I don't care if you're a genius, IQ, and you graduate from West Point, Daddy's always got you in life experience, right? Because the squeeze of life has given Daddy a few insights. At 60, I got Daddy wit. I've got that condensed wit like you mamas have mama wit. You've got that condensed, concentrated wisdom that you cannot get from a 14-year-old. No, I'm not insulting anybody. I'm just saying, you've got a lot to look forward to. The more God squeezes, the more, can you imagine squeezing an orange? Just, well, today we're going to be thinking of that squeeze in terms of wisdom, wisdom. Because the daughter of the Highland Oracle represents the daughter of Eve, saturated with the wisdom of God, given the unique insight necessary to discern the signs of the times. Now let's take a look at this verse today. All the troops with Joab. Joab was David's general. He was a very bloodthirsty man. In fact, he knew all David's secrets. And Joab was actually a very wicked man. He was a brutal man. And he killed anyone that David tried to fire him, but he really couldn't because Joab knew all his secrets about Bathsheba and him putting Uriah out in the battle and saying, you know, put him on the front lines and then have everyone retreat so you can murder him so I can have his wife illicitly and get her pregnant. And, you know, when people know your secrets, they can have a stronghold over you. That's another sermon. Let's move on quick. Joab's brutal. David just replaced him with another guy, and Joab just brutally gutted the man and left his bowels on the street. And the next word is, all the troops with Joab came and besieged Sheba in Abel, Beth-Maacah. And they built a siege ramp up to the city, and it stood against the outer fortifications. While they were battering the wall to bring it down, a wise woman called from the city, listen, tell Joab to come here so I can speak to him. And he went toward her, and she asked, are you Joab? I am, he answered. She said, listen to what your servant has to say. I am listening, he said. She continued, long ago they used to say, get your answer at Abel. And that settled it. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel. You are trying to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance? Far be it from me, Joab replied. Far be it from me to swallow up or destroy. That's a lie. All he does is swallow everyone up and kill everyone that tries to take his position. Sounds religious, though, doesn't it? Far be it from me, Joab replied, to swallow or destroy. That's all he does. That is not the case. A man named Sheba, son of Bichri. Now, this is the rebel. Doesn't that sound right? Sheba, the son of Bichri. This is the wicked guy, Sheba. Sheba is trying to displace David. He has divided the nation down the middle. He's taken all the tribes, two of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and then there's 10 in the north. And all the northern tribes have gotten offended at David. It's been a rough time in David's life. Some of you have been under siege. I'm looking at you right now, I can tell. You've been under siege too. You're going to empathize with this story. But I want you to notice that Sheba is the man who is trying to take illicit control, and he's divided the nation, and now Sheba is trying to run from justice. You can run, but you can't hide. So Sheba runs all the way up north to this city we call Abel, the place of the squeeze. And he jumps in, and they let him into the city. Now, there was a time when the city of Abel was so well known, it never would have allowed mixture in. But do you know every time you allow mixture in, you get into trouble? Your concentration is lessened. Whenever you open the door to compromise, you just let in a little. This city that once would have barred its gates against trauma was in such a condition that they opened the door, and Sheba, this rebel. So imagine David and all of his men are coming after this guy Sheba because they just settled a revolt, and now there's another one that's buckling up. And David says, go get Sheba now, because he's going to go up north, get in a fortified city, and it's going to be worse than Absalom. So go get him. So all of David's men are running. They come up to the city, and the city has allowed Sheba in. And so now the city is under siege, right? They're bringing in the siege ramps. You know, sieges were nasty business. They just cut off your food and water until you die. The Romans were so noted for their sieges that they would come up to a city and say, we're going to besiege you. And they'd say, well, we can last 10 years. And the general would say, we'll see you in the 11th. Because they would entrench and stop your water and stop your food until you're eating one another. They'd eat their own children. That's how... So this godly city, the city noted for wisdom, this is where you used to go when you were desperate for counsel. Anybody have some northern oracle that you go to at 3 in the morning when you don't know what to do and you don't know what your name is? That's when you call the daughter of the northern oracle. That's when you call the brother of the northern oracle and say, help! You know, because we need wisdom. We have wisdom for one another. So here they are. They're attacking the city of Abel, and Joab's about to destroy it. And this woman, we don't know her name, but we know her character. We know her character. We're going to look at 7 traits of the daughter of the northern oracle, because daughters of Eve, I'm talking to you today, and I'm giving you encouragement. And I want to frame this story. It's an odd story, but it embraces so many of the realities of our culture. We live in a divided nation. Do you know what's necessary? You, anointed by the Holy Ghost, daughter of the Northern Oracle, to arise in your anointing and your purpose. We live in a time where the church is enduring mixture, and there, it needs to be purified. How's he going to do it? He's going to raise you up, O daughter of the Northern Oracle. And in this exchange, we're going to set the frame for seven steps that I'm going to read really quickly this morning that will encourage you. But this woman of wisdom cries out at this brutal man, Joab, and he says, hey, what do you want? And he goes, no, that's not the case. I don't want to swallow you up. I never do anything like that. I never destroy people. Thanks, Joab. You're not seeing yourself, baby. A man named Sheba, son of Bichri from the hill country of Ephraim, has lifted up his hand against the king, against David. Hand over this one man, and I'll withdraw from the city. The woman said to Joab, his head will be thrown to you from the wall. And all God's women said, amen, we're going to get there today. Throw the right head over the wall. You got to throw the right head over the wall. I threw a head over the wall. Yeah, but it was the wrong one. All right, let's go. Let's go. Let the text finish before I do my exposition. Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and they threw it over to Joab. So he sounded the trumpet, and his men dispersed from the city, each returning to his home. And Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. And all the people of God said, amen. What has this got to do with you? Everything. Daughter of the Northern Oracle. Satan hates you, woman of God. He has a unique hatred for you and your gender. Well, if someone hates you with every essence of their being, wouldn't it be nice to know why? What threat are you? Oh, you're every threat. Do you know the Bible says that he created you and you are called an Ezer, you're called a helpmeet, you're called one that has the gift of cleaving. You're uniquely created by God in order to fill in gaps that are absolutely in need of filling. You have a unique anointing to cleave, to be able to internalize. We give you a seed, you give us a baby. We give you a man, you give us back a husband. We give you black and white, and you give us back color. We give you chaos, and you give us back order. Have you ever noticed why husbands are so attractive to single women? Because he's been with you. You've civilized him, and now they like what they see. See, they didn't see how he was before. They see after he's been given to you and you presented the world with somebody else. Did you know the devil has a unique hatred, and he wants you? You have a gift of taking in and multiplying things. That's positive. Take the seed and give the baby, but you can also take in bitterness, negativity, and resentment, and you can nurse that. Women, you can nurse something unlike anything we men know. We're idiots. We hit each other and go have a beer. But you can take something in and nurse it for years. You can say it was September 23rd, 1982, when you looked up at me from that bed. We don't remember yesterday. So I'm just throwing something out. The devil knows how powerful you are if you take in God's word and nurse it and multiply it and you give us back a blessing. But you see, if he can pervert that, he's trying to pervert your womb so that you internalize only bitterness, negativity, frustration, because there's nobody worse nursing an issue than a woman of God. See, there's a book I read called Odd Girl Out. It's written by a woman, a PhD. She's a scholar, and it's about women, the difference between boys and girls. Girls are wicked, is what she concludes. Boys in school will, like, fight and hit and whatever, and, you know, go and have some chocolate milk and go back and play. Women will target another woman. Groups of women will isolate and target. Now, come on now. Don't you look at me funny. Odd Girl Out. She wrote the book. And have you remember that in school, girls, how petty other girls were and you wanted to be in their group and they didn't want you in the group, so they target you and they go to work just. The devil hates you because of your ability to cleave, your ability to take in God's promise, multiply it, and give out blessing. So he wants to confuse your affections and have you start nurturing and taking in causes that are losing causes. There's nothing like a woman to stick with a man, no matter what. A man would never stick with a woman like a woman sticks with a man, you know? You just don't understand him. His mommy took his lollipop. You're going, but that was 30 years ago, and he's been dead for 80. You can nurse things. We men just cut things off. It's like, done. Have the gift of goodbye. Bye-bye. I won't even think about you again. But here's what I'm trying to say, Oh, precious daughters, you have a gift. You have gifts. Second, not only can you cleave and take in and multiply and redeem and cover and fill in gaps. I mean, you have such an anointing that the enemy is terrified of you. That's why in the garden he went to Eve, not Adam directly. Adam's too left brain. Adam just said, get out, devil. Eve, he just sort of seduced and said, hey, how you doing? Because he knew if he could plug in there into that cleaving anointing and get her to multiply her doubts about God, that she would pretty much take the fruit. And remember, it wasn't the fruit on the tree. It was the pear on the ground that got us into trouble. Okay, no more jokes. I'm sorry. You got it. Yeah, it just wasn't funny. That's what my daughter says. We get it, Daddy. It's just not funny. He didn't go straight to Adam. He went to Eve because he saw that she was the crown of redemptive creation. He thought, maybe I can seduce a little bit. Watch what you plug into. Watch what you allow to plug into you. Negative thoughts, streams of consciousness, assaults of the enemy, voices you're listening to in your head. Remember what you watch, your little eyes, what you see. Remember little eyes. Don't see what you shouldn't see. It's hard to unsee stuff you're looking at. Hard to unhear stuff you've been listening to. The enemy always assaults daughters because he knows if he can compromise their confidence, then they will not stand as daughters of the Northern Oracle. Like our hero today. We don't know her name, but we know her character. We know her character. And do you know what? The devil knows your character. He knows. He's afraid of people that he's afraid of. He's not afraid of everybody. Some Christians, you could throw holy water and they just eat popcorn and drink it up with you. Laugh at you. Remember in the book of Acts, Acts 19, it says, seven sons of Sceva, these exorcists, were standing over a demon-possessed man. I advise you never to do this. And they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth, come out. And they said, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know, but who are you? And the demons jumped on the men and beat them to death. Demons know who has true authority versus somebody just saying, in the name of Jesus. You can do that all day long. And if there's no punch behind it, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know. I was very young and Mormon was trying to talk to me, a Mormon missionary, and I just got to the point where I was tired of the encounter. So I went, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you? It was a short encounter in Melodyland parking facility. Satan, hate you. I'm sorry, let me get back on track. Let the dove come back. Come back, dove. Oh, forget it. We're talking about the stream of the house of squeeze. I can do anything I want here. The devil hates you, but secondly, he hates you because you're the door of life. Did you know anything that comes into this dimension has to come through you? Everything God does has to come through you. Eve was called the mother of all living. Gosh, that's a pretty high place. Everything, including the Messiah himself, had to come through you. You're the door to life. So do you think the devil has any issues with you? With your covering anointing, your cleaving anointing, your ability to fulfill every issue and need that men cannot do, you have all the anointing to do it. And you have this ability to multiply the goodness of God. And you're also the door of life. Of course, Satan individually hates you. But God is crazy about his girls. He goes, baby, do you know who you are? You're the daughter of the Northern Oracle. Let's look at seven quick traits of this woman. Now, you got the picture. The siege, the city is under siege. Sheba, the mixture is in it. Joab, the murderer, comes up and says, I wouldn't hurt anybody. Why are you afraid of me? And the woman of wisdom. Up from the wall, when the men are going nuts and everything's in crisis, a wise woman, thank God, shouted down and said, hey, where's Joab, the general? He said, well, he's right over here. Bring him here. I want to talk to him. Oh, I love this one. And she says, Joab, what are you trying to do? Swallow up the inheritance of God? I'm a mother in Israel. We're faithful to the Lord. We love David. What are you trying to do? And Joab goes, I'm David. You know, he's women of God, the wisdom God gives you can do more than a sword. Joab meets his match. Mr. Mafia, kill anything that moves, comes up against a woman of God, especially a daughter of the Northern Oracle, full of squeeze, wisdom squeezed out, dripping. She says, Joab, I know my history, and I know the best of my history. And this is a place of peace that you would swallow up and destroy. And loved one, don't ever worry. He can give you a mouth and wisdom that no man can gainsay or contradict. Jesus said, when you're dragged to speak for yourself, do not worry, for your Father will give you the utterance in that hour. Women of God, be encouraged today. You have a great enemy. David had an enemy, and he's Sheba. He was an opportunist. So what he did is he came up and he said, well, there's only David's little tribe of Judah bringing him up. Why don't all the rest of us tribes away from the house of Jesse? Let us rebel against the king. And the majority of the nation, again, is threatened with a rebellion against David. David's getting tired. But you know why all these horrible things happened to him? Because of that night watching that woman bathe. Remember her name? Bathsheba. It says, and at the time of the going out of kings, when David should have been on his battle post, he's at home, sleeping weird hours, up when he should be asleep. Come on, you know how you get deep, messed up when you start getting weird sleep hours your whole life, so you're not where you should be. And David winds up on a roof looking at a woman. He could have had any woman in Israel. What is it about the woman at the bath or the Moabite women or the Philistine women? Well, we'll do a seminar on them later. But David, because of that one sin with Bathsheba, God said, you can stay king, but my sword will never depart from your house. Actions have consequences, just like ideas have consequences. And David's son Absalom rose up against him. And that was a pain in the neck. But I just want you to see the blend here. Yeah, he's under attack, but it's as a result of payback for his own sin. God will forgive your sin. Like the young woman I was dealing with, she said, Pastor Craig, I'm pregnant. And I said, oh. And she goes, well, you know, I just really want God to forgive me for my sexual sin. I said, all right, honey, he forgives you of your sexual sin, but you got a baby. You're forgiven completely and utterly. Now we've got a new blessing in the world. Do you see what I'm saying? You can be forgiven a sin, but you have a consequence that stays. Not always, but sometimes. And David had made his own bed, and he literally is the orchestrator of this whole season of his life. But that's another message for another time. Today, our only focus is to encourage you, the daughter of the Northern Oracle. In your case, we're not talking about sins you've committed. We're talking about sins that have been committed against you. This wise woman, she speaks over the wall. And the first, she was famous in her own sphere of influence. Did you know that you are famous in your own sphere of influence? We don't know her name, but we know her character. And we know that everyone in that city honored her. Loved one, not all of you will be extensively famous. Have your own reality TV show or be running for Congress. Or that's called extensive fame, where everybody sees who you are. But you all have intensive fame with your family, your children, your loved ones, your friends at church. You are intensively famous. And this woman, I want you to know, embraced her influence. Please embrace your influence, women of God, because it's so powerful. Now, when men go bad, that's one thing, but when one of you daughters of the Northern Oracle go bad, whoo, you can do more damage if you turn your skills, gifts, and abilities against the kingdom of God. There's nothing like a woman gone crazy. My handicapped boy has a nurse who says, Craig, I'm going to tell you something. She said, the devil's a woman. You're going to find out someday. She said, I'm just saying. Just play with that in your spirit. Go through the scriptures. But because you know what? As fierce as men may seem, they're never as sly and powerful as the anointing that you have, for good or for ill. Now, come on. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just going to lay these truths down and move to a safe distance. My hedge is up. So she is famous in her own sphere of influence, and so she embraced her intensive fame. And you need to do that too. You need to realize that God has given you an influence. Use it correctly. Use it with wisdom. Don't take the fame you have intensively around and go and poop in your own Easter basket. That's what we used to say. People that will just self-sabotage. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're influential. Take what God gives you and multiply that. Reject the enemy. Be the door of life. Allow the promise of God to come through you in all of the gifts that God has given you. Embrace your intensive fame. You are famous. She was famous in the city. See, we don't know her name, but we know her character, and that's the most important thing. And second, she knew and represented the best in her historical lineage. She tells Joab, she points out, Joab, I know my lineage. Yeah, there's a lot of monkeys in the tree. There's a lot of evil in your lineage. There's a lot of pain. The last few decades, we've been just dealing with the pain in your past. And it's real. But you know what? Have the sense of an old cow. Eat the hay, spit out the sticks. Do spit out the sticks, but eat the hay. There's good in your lineage. This woman of Abel knew her lineage. She said, I can tell you the history of this mound of a city. I can tell you about the wisdom squeezed out of it over the history of Israel, that everyone came here that needed the wisdom word that would save them. And she said, I am of that lineage, daughter of the Most High. You are the best of the lineage of the city of Abel. The wisdom God has given you through the squeezings of your life can be make you better, not bitter. It's a choice. Just say, ever felt under siege? There's a strange squeezing in my life. Don't worry. You squeeze the olive, you get the oil. You squeeze the grape, you get the wine. You squeeze the cloud, you get the rain. You squeeze the grain, you get the bread. Squeezing is absolutely necessary for the end goal in view. Remember when I taught on winemaking, there's a season where the grape is intact, and then you throw it in the vat where Lucy and Ethel pummel it and step all over it and turn it into must. It's called must. You must become must. It looks like jelly goo. And when you look in the vat, it's neither grape nor wine. Neither wine nor grape. You say, Greg, that's my life exactly. Yeah. It's not what it used to be. It is sort of mulchy. We could maybe bottle this and sell it to someone. Say it's from Sweden. But you're in between. You're neither grape nor wine. That's a good place for God to move in your heart, loved one. You're neither olive nor oil. That's a good place to be in between. But it looks suspicious, by the way. Don't judge people when they're in the vat and they're not yet what they're going to be. Because, oh, you'll misjudge them every time. What's wrong with them? Why are they in the vat? If they were so holy, God wouldn't have allowed them to go into the vat. Ew, they just look like goo. Oh, my God, am I going to support that ministry anymore? Yeah, she isn't intact. She's not a grape right now. Yeah, and she's not wine right now. But watch your mouth, because the daughter of the northern oracle is going to rise out of that thing with all the abundance of the wisdom through her squeezings. Don't feel bad when you get squeezed, honey. Take that as just a glorified hug that just is a little bit more hurtful than you thought the last one was. She was famous in her own sphere. She embraced her intensive fame. She knew and represented the best in her historical lineage. And by the way, like I said, gaze at God, glance at your problems. Gaze at the good in your lineage and only glance at the bad. We've had enough inner healing books. We've had deliverance sessions. We're throwing up in paper bags. Okay, yeah, it was a bad lineage, but you know what? There's good in that lineage too. And you need to be like this wise woman who did research on the good in her lineage. Amen? It's the telescope or the microscope, you know? If you look, no, the telescope, you can look through one end and flip it over and look through the other end and things are a little bit different. Some of you take that telescope and everything's real small that you look at. Those are strapped like glasses on your face. Everywhere you go, oh, it's small, small, everything's small. Flip it around. Look through the other end. It's big. Everything's big. It's big. Your perspective is really important right now going into the next season of your life. Make sure you're looking through the right end of the telescope. Amen. Because that perspective is absolutely necessary for your ongoing fruitfulness that's just up ahead of you. So God is squeezing, yes, but she knew and represented the best in her lineage. And you're going to be the best in your lineage. But you know, it's something also. She was a woman of wisdom. Deuteronomy 20 gives the rules of war. And verse 10 and 11 of Deuteronomy 20 said, when Israel came to a city, guess what the order was? They had to offer peace from a distance. And they had to give the opportunity of peace. And if the city surrendered, they weren't enslaved. They just had peace. Then there would be some terms. You pay some taxation. You don't become a slave. You just pay a taxation in your relationship with them. Well, did Joab follow scripture? Of course not. He's just blustering and banging down the wall, and they've got all the siege engines coming up. And this wise woman goes, excuse me, Joab, Remember Deuteronomy? It's in the Bible. Remember the rules of war? I mean, you're David's general all these years. I'm sure you've read it. I'm sure you do read the Bible. In between Joab butchering everybody all day, I don't think he could see the blood all over the Torah scrolls. You know, it's like, where is that? Deuteronomy. Yeah. The ink is floating around here. I can't quite see. She says, oh, by the way, Bible man, what you're doing right now is not biblical. So she's, you know, but she has a way with him. Her wisdom is conquering his Hitler-like fury. And he's now like a little boy. I'm sorry. Okay, well. It's lovely. If you knew who Joab was, you'd know what I'm talking about. With her wisdom, she undoes him. There's just nobody like a daughter of the Northern Oracle that can undo rage, anger, fierceness, bluster. Men bluster, especially when they're wrong. We're driving north, not south. We've been driving north for the last... And then you see that you're going south, and you still won't concede. That's why the children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, because even then men wouldn't stop and ask for directions. You know how when you know you're wrong, as my dad would say, dead, dead wrong. And you still going to bluster a little bit more. See, we bluster once we're called out. See, when you know who you are, you can say, oops, whoopsie. Back to the text. She was, please represent the best in your lineage. Spit out the sticks, but do eat the hay. Do see that God has been multi-generationally working in your family of origin, and he's designed you to be the best of the best in your lineage. Okay? And we'll let the blood cover the rest. Third, she was loyal under pressure. Anybody feel under siege? She's under pressure. They're going to come in and kill everything in this city. This isn't some sweet little Bible story. And then the little lamb walked forward and everyone petted it. No, no, no. This is one of the, don't read this in the Bible. How many people have you heard preach this? This text is risky. Huh? Ooh, there's blood and guts and there's going to be a head coming over the wall and all this kind of stuff. And God said, Craig, encourage my daughters so they at least learn how to throw the right head over the wall. Amen. It's a gift, but we, okay. Back me on that, Gretchen. Come on. All right, good. She was she was loyal under pressure. Do you see this woman? Loved one, don't side with the enemy under pressure. You can be under so much pressure you don't know what your name is, and you start speaking out everything the devil himself is saying. When you're under pressure, don't be a sock puppet. You know, where you're just sitting there and then the devil puts his hand up your back and you just find yourself saying everything he's saying. This situation will never be resolved. It's like, well, there's too many S's in that. Hello? We'd like to talk to Becky again. Is Becky in there? Don't side with the enemy under pressure, because it's so easy when you're under pressure that you'll do almost anything to get relief. Amen? When you're under pressure, you'll do almost anything to get relief. Under pressure, she got better. I think she, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. I don't think she was screaming at him. She probably had to yell to get attention, but once he got up there, a soft answer breaks the bone. The Bible says, isn't it true? You know, when someone's really out of control, you just sort of lower your voice a bit and you begin to talk in a lower strain of voice like that, and they'll begin to calm down. Remember? And then you start, you know. So she's calming him down. She's under the pressure of a lifetime. If her wisdom and her influence isn't good enough, they're going to be overrun by this fool. And this man's a butcher. He doesn't give a darn about her or her city. He has butchered everyone between him and power, and she has no... But God gave the daughter of the Northern Oracle the ability to maintain her cool under pressure. See, they don't need to see you sweat inside. Inside, you may be going, ah! But I call it put on your Sphinx face. Remember the Sphinx? Remember, next to the Great Pyramid of Giza? Look that up when you go home. Look at a picture of a Sphinx. The Sphinx is a symbol of a secret unrevealed. Your Sphinx face is what your poker face is. You know, my brother has played poker for years. He can go in and sit. He'll not sleep for 3 days. He'll sit up at a table for 3 days. And all they're looking for is your little tick in your eye. Yeah, I'm fine. I'll take another card. My brother can read. I mean, what they think are subtleties, my brother sees as Jerry Lewis going, lady. I mean, he's so good at reading your face that it's really hard to put a poker face on. My brother can't read. And he'll just see one tick. Remember the James Bond movie? The guy starts bleeding from the eye. That's always a good tick. There are times in life where you are a sphinx. You are unreadable, unmeasurable, and unknowable. They used to say of Napoleon III that he was a sphinx. They said never knew what he was thinking, never knew what he believed on any issue, never spoke clearly. Even his wife never knew what he was thinking. Well, that's a little too far. But you see, she on the inside may have been going, hey! But outside she had that soft voice. And if you just talk soft enough and wait, God will come in, he'll back you up, and he sees you're screaming inside. Just don't show it sometimes. Don't show your hand. Well, we've covered poker. What else? We've mentioned Vegas, I guess we could. Okay, so she was loyal under pressure. Fourth, she gave wisdom in a critical hour that settled a siege. Oh, loved one. Wisdom over swords every time. The nation is divided. David's life is threatened. Sheba is mixture in the city, corrupting the people. And in the moment of siege, she had a one word of wisdom that diffused the whole thing. Did you know? You say, well, I don't have many gifts and abilities, and I'm not this and I'm not that. Whatever you all aren't, daughter of the Northern Oracle, you have an ability to settle conflicts, sieges, and disable them. It's like God giving you a key that unlocks a lock that nobody else could unlock. Can you imagine some of these bank vaults? We couldn't blow them open. We couldn't hope them open. But if you know that little 20 left, 10 right, 15 left, 4 right, you can open the door when no one else can. He's been squeezing you because he wants the wisdom that he's injected in you to be dripping out all over the place. That's what Abel was. She goes, I know what this city represented, and I represent the best of this city, and I will not be crushed under siege. In fact, the Lord himself is going to fill my mouth with wisdom so that I can dismantle this siege. So she goes, what are the issues here? She got to the, what's the issue? He goes, I got nothing against you, but that idiot Sheba, the mixture you guys allowed in your city, you throw his head over the wall and we're good. And she says, is that all you want? She goes, hold on, I got to leverage a lifetime of influence. Hello, everybody. Hi, are you doing good? Okay, can we have a little meeting? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, bless us. Amen. We need to... Oh, the gentleman in the back that you've been hiding, Sheba, come forward, would you please? He thinks he's going to get an award. She goes, all right, cut his head off and give it to me. She leverages the wisdom of a lifetime and she gets Sheba's head. Sheba means the oath. Yeah, the oath of the devil. Loved one, why a head? Why is it so gross? Because you won't forget this anytime soon. Just throw the right ones over the wall. So here she throws that head over the wall that represents the thing that was causing the mixture is now removed. Ever had a wound that's got poison in it and they got to drain the poison out of the wound and now it can heal? Well, it couldn't heal. The city couldn't heal until the mixture was driven out. Did you know we have mixture in our lives? We're not neither all good or all bad. We are good and bad. We have good and bad parts. And God draws a circle around all the good and bad parts and says, I love you. Isn't that something? You see, when people die, it's deceptive. They were all good or all bad. They were God or the devil. That's not true. They were good and bad, like you are. But God is able to draw his circle around all of who you are, and he says, come on, I'm going to love. You can belong before your behavior is perfect and your belief is perfect. You can belong, but as you walk with me with the right heart, you're going to see your behavior is going to be altered and your belief is going to be deepened. But isn't God wonderful to let us belong before our belief and behavior is perfect? Someone better say amen now or I'm going to Calvary. I'll preach in the parking lot. She gave wisdom in a critical hour. It settled the siege, and so will you. Daughter of the Northern Oracle. Fifth, and I'm closing here, her life was other-centered. See, this city she viewed as her baby's. Boy, it takes on a different view when you view something as your baby. Now, I've had the privilege of raising 7 children. And I'm the nicest guy that you'll ever meet. But if you touch one of my children, you'll be dead, painfully dead, before you hit the ground. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You don't have to hate the enemy you're killing. In the Civil War, brothers were killing brothers. You didn't have to hate them, but they were going down. Either I die or you die, you're going to die. Real quick. And now with these knives popping up around the church, I don't know what that means. I got Daniel up front. I got Dennis in the back. I'm going to have to go through the window if I want out. Loved one, we're living in a time where God is anointing and raising up his daughters, because there's something about the daughter of the Northern Oracle. She loves each person in her city as though they are her own child. And when you love something like you love your own child, it changes the frame of everything. You don't have to talk me into blessing my children, nor do they. See, when I was little, they tried to beg me. They tried to trip me up so I'd promise them something because they knew I'd die before I break my word. Now they're saying, you promised it, but you just forgot. What a wicked strategy. It's true. No, you gave your word, Dad. You're just, you're 60. So now let's go do it. See, my kids are tricky. But loved one, God wants our life to be other-centered. It's always been about us, and it's all about me, and it's all about me and what I think and what I feel and what I heard and what I believed and oh, what hurt, and I was still hurting. We need to become other-centered. Daughter of the Northern Oracle, you're known because your love is for those around you. In the love of Jesus, you're treating everyone like they're your child in the sense of your warm embrace and your emotional relationship to them. Praise be the name of the Lord. There's nothing more calm than a daughter of the Most High God speaking peace over your life like you're a baby. And you know, sometimes mothers in the church, that's their gift. They come up and they will say, baby, now calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Relax. Just lay back. Let me rub your head a little bit. You know, when you try to get your kids to go to sleep, you know what I used to do? I used to just move their eyebrows. I just rub their eyebrows like we do on Michael. If you rub Michael's eyebrows, he just goes out like that. And Vicky, his nurse, just rubs his eyebrows. And all of a sudden, he just starts going, special needs snoring zone. And then they'll tickle him desperately and wake him up. And he goes, ah! And I go, well, that was wicked. Sometimes only a mother can soothe her baby. And you know, that's what mothers did. Did you know? Mothers were in charge of bonding. First thing a baby saw when they opened their eyes was mama. Mama gave the breast. Mama said, you're valued. You belong. You belong where you are. You're unparalleled. You're one of a kind. You're an original, not a copy. Mama loves you. Mama's here for you. Bonding. That was the gift of mama. And the second was containment. When a baby was losing their mind under stress, you know, you've seen kids having a meltdown. Mama's designed to come up and contain all that and say, you're not all those emotions. You're just one person with many emotions, and it's okay. And then you get to get, mama picked you up, walks you around the airplane. The mothers that care, oh, Lord. I was on a 14-hour flight to Turkey where a mother was not bonding. She was not containing her baby. He was in her arms, but she was holding him loose. And I'm a daddy, so I'm like thinking, give me that baby. All that baby needs is to be contained, not lectured, yelled at, preached at. You pick that baby up and contain the baby. See, this is the daughter of the Northern Oracle anointing is in all these dimensions of motherhood. You provide bonding so that people feel one with Christ and that they matter in an absolute sense. You're the one that brings containment in a siege place where everybody's going to lose their minds. And she was upright, sixth. She was the best of her generation. She knew God. She walked with God. And she was what she claimed to be. Oh, gosh, isn't it something to walk the talk versus talk the talk? I'm encouraging all of you of Abel Beth Meaka. You're coming out of the stream of the house of the squeeze, but it's wisdom. It's not orange juice. It's wisdom flowing all over you right now. She was a godly woman in the midst of a perverse generation. And finally, she would not allow the destruction of her heritage. She threw the right head over the right wall. What does that mean? Loved one, God's calling us all now to get mixture out of our lives. Things that we've allowed to come in that have mixed our walk, it's time to kill them and throw the head over the wall. Give God room to move. Amen. And guess what? Joab was defeated in that he left. He said, okay, we got what we came for. And she was the reigning hero. of the Northern Oracle. Oh, beloved, I don't know that you realize the enemy. You're famous intensively. You are famous in your circle. And you know, on Mother's Day, it's very difficult sometimes. Some people don't want to come to church on Mother's Day because they're sad. Maybe they've never been mothers and they don't want to hear another. You know, there's three kinds of Mother's Day's message. There's a sort of celebration of mothers. You know, where you say mom is awesome and God loves mothers, look at Mary. You know, then there's a second type of Mother's Day message on how to be a better mother. You know, be like Hannah, be like Mary. Then there's, that's the how to succeed at mothering sermon. Or you just mention mothers and you preach whatever you want. Well, I've got a unique blend here today. And I want to speak this in conclusion over all of you precious lambs that have been called and privileged by motherhood. And I want to leave you with this. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mothers, if you are in Christ Jesus, you do not have to fear condemnation. You stand in the righteousness of Christ. You're loved by God. You're His daughters because of His work. You may feel condemned, but you are not condemned by your messy home. You are not condemned by your lack of desire for homeschooling. You are not condemned by your personal sins. You are not condemned by the difficulty of caring for a child with special needs. You are not condemned by the knowledge of how easy it is for you to love one child over another. You are not condemned by your miscarriage. You are not condemned by your lack of desire to have more kids. You are not condemned because you have no desire to adopt. You are not condemned even though you feel it when you read of another's perfect parenting. You are not condemned by your inability to cook. You are not condemned because your kids are not normal. You are not condemned because you're divorced or unmarried and doing it alone. You are not condemned by your desire to be alone away from kids for a time every single day. You are not condemned by your body, which was not what it once was. You are not condemned by your repeated failures as a mother. You are not condemned by your rebellious children. You are not condemned by the frustration of having to scrape mac and cheese off the kitchen floor yet again. You are not condemned by all the fears and tears which flirt with insanity and take you to the precipice of despair. You are not condemned by not being able to throw the birthday party of the year for your child. You are not condemned for not feeling your kids' homemade meals and making them all from Whole Foods. You are not condemned by your need for a vacation without kids. You are not condemned because you cannot take your kids on exciting vacations. You are not condemned for not living up to the standards of your mother or your mother-in-law. And you are not condemned by the stares of those who don't have kids when yours erupt into volcanic screams. Mothers, you may feel condemned, but if you are in Christ, you are not condemned. I speak that over you prophetically in the name of Jesus Christ, that this day would be a lifting of your burden. This day would be an encouragement, daughter of the Northern Oracle. You are God's delight, and you are Satan's biggest scare. If you ever find out who you are and the power you have, he's finished. Division in the nation will be conquered with unity because of you. Mixture in the church will be driven out and straightened out because of you. I don't care if your whole life has been a catastrophe up until now. Right now is a new beginning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing of a mantle upon your daughters, Lord. They are such a delight to you. Encourage them, refresh them, bless them, and let this week, Lord, bring a new turn and a new twist of surprise. Do something that would surprise your daughters with joy in the name of Jesus. Can you give the Lord praise right there where you are? Just give a little praise right there where you, daughter of the Northern Oracle. Not that patty cake praise, that Northern Oracle squeeze praise. Don't fear the squeeze because something beautiful is coming out. Bishop T.D. Jakes just wrote a book called Crushing. Go get that. I've been teaching on that for years. Crushing is the process that produces power. And the devil says, well, you're just going to be squeezed forever. No, no, it's a means to an end. Hold on. You may neither be grape nor wine right now, but you're going to be wine, the finest wine God's ever had. You may neither be olive nor oil yet. Now, hold on in the vet. Hold on, because you're going to be the best oil God's got. That's because he's superintending this. So I bless the daughter of the Northern Oracle in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise his mighty name. Happy Mother's Day.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.